spiritual.
Arogsham,
described by authority.
Idam,
this.
Maya,
by me.
Adhigatam,
heard.
Adbhutam,
wonderful.
Evam,
thus.
Sriya,
the one.
Ashramaha,
shelter.
Pumsaha,
of the living entity.
Jinnaha,
finished.
Amudra,
about life after death.
Cha,
also.
Samshayaha,
doubts.
The allegory of King Puranjana, described herein according to authority, was heard by me from my spiritual master, and it is full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this allegory, he will certainly be relieved from the bodily conception and will clearly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. The word striya, meaning along with the wife, is significant. The male and female living together constitute the sum and substance of material existence. The attraction between male and female in this material world is very strong. In all species of life, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of existence. The same principle of intermingling is also in human society, but is in a regulative form. Material existence means living together as male and female and being attracted by one another. However, when one fully understands spiritual life, his attraction to the opposite sex is completely vanquished. By such attraction, one becomes overly attached to his material world. There is a hard knot within the heart.
Vamsa sriya mituni bhavanetam tayor mito vriya grantamahu mito vriya kshetra sudata vittayar janasya mohoyam Amameti.
Everyone comes to this material world attracted to sense gratification. And the hard knot of sense gratification is the attraction between male and female. By this attraction, one becomes overly attached to the material world in terms of griha, kshetra, sukha, artha, dukha, that is, home, land, children, friends, money, and so forth. One becomes entangled in the bodily conception of I and mine. However, if one understands the story of King Puranjana and understands how, by sexual attraction, Puranjana became a female in his next life, one will understand the process of transmigration.
Tasya Gyananjana Sharakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Naityam Dadhati Shapadhatikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Patakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagarnaragnatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Tata Kanta Namostute Tata Kam Shanago Rangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Anamami Hari Priye Vansha Golpatarubhyascha Rupasindho Vyayavacha Pratitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gauravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Adhyatma Parokshan Idam Mayadikatam Madhutam Evam Sriyashram Akumshas Chindamutra Chisamshaya. This story is an allegory. An allegory is a tale. An example, metaphors were usually tale, in which what the story is about is not what the story is really about. There's the surface story, and then there's the actual meaning of the story. An allegory. The story says one thing, but it actually represents something else. So, just like even simple stories, like the story of the fox and the grape, he's not an actual fox, he's representing an envious person. So although it's a story about fox and grapes, actually it's a story about people of a certain kind. So when such a story is extended, and usually extended and involved, then it's called an allegory. So that's what we have here. The story is supposed to be about a king named Puranjana and what happened to him. But actually it's about King Prichinibharti. But if Narada had directly said, Prichinibharti, this is what's going on with you, the king would have said, no, not like that. My life isn't like that. I'm not so attached. You have me wrong. So in order to get the message through, it's told as if it were about someone else, about some king named Puranjana. But actually it's about Prichinibharti, or it's about us. Prachinibari is only one such attached person. And but his position is not so different from our position. So in this way, if we understand the story of King Puranjana and how it applies to our own situation, then we can benefit by transcendental knowledge. Adhyatma Paroksha. This story was heard from spiritual authority. Anyone else have a cell phone? Adhyatma Paroksham. We get knowledge from hearing from spiritual authorities. People generally think that they'll learn by experience, but we learn by experience that people don't learn by experience. Again and again, they do the same foolish things, and they don't realize that they're foolish. King Prachinibari is the example. Again and again, he's performing materialistic activities and getting entangled and suffering. But he doesn't. Now what? The phone again, right? Mobiles are a nuisance, actually. Adhyatma Paroksha. We are advised to hear from self-realized authorities. Paroksha, Adhyatma Paroksha.
When we hear the spiritual message spoken by a self-realized person, then we may be fortunate enough to understand something about spiritual knowledge.
Adhyatma Paroksham. So, Adhyatma Paroksham Idam Adigatam Adbhutam. He says, I heard this from my spiritual master, Iti Shushumadhiranam. Adigatam Adbhutam, it's a Adbhutam, a wonderful history. Adbhuta also means unnatural. It's a very strange history, how the city was attacked by 360 soldiers, male and female soldiers, how so many strange things happened. So it's a unnatural story, a strange story. We like strange stories. If there's some spooky tale, something we become attracted. So this is a very unusual story. Adbhuta, or Adbhuta means wonderful. Wonderful. So, Adhyatma Parokshamidam, Maya Adigatam Adbhutam. And it's wonderful because one can get self-realization by hearing. Evam Striashrama Pumsas Chinna Mutra Chasangshaya. One can be finished with material life by hearing this allegory. One can get freed from the bodily concept of life and understand amutra, something about life after death. And striya pumsha chinna, one can be finished with this business, striya ashrama pumsha, the business of attachment to the opposite sex for sense enjoyment. And that means one can be freed from birth and death. Striyapum samitini bhavanetam. Tayor mito hridyagrantamam. Ata griha kshetra sutahaptavittai. Chanasya mohoyam aham maam eti. The basic principle of material existence is found in this attraction between male and female, striya pumsha, mittani bhava. What is the attraction? The attraction is sex, in one form or another. The attraction is sex. It may be subtle, it may be not subtle, but this is the attraction. Pumsastriya mitini pavaneti. And this is the binding force of material existence. What is this striya pumsa? It's in terms of the bodily concept of life. The soul is of one quality, whether in the body of a man, body of a woman, soul is of the same nature. But the soul takes on a body, either a male body or a female body, and the attraction develops in terms of the body. In terms of the body. Pumsastriya maitini bhavanet. This attraction is there. And Tayora Mitta Hridaya Grantama, when male and female come together, when they unite, then Hridaya Grantam, a tight knot forms within the heart. Romeo and Juliet. The false ego becomes fortified by this connection. One thinks in so many ways, I'm a man, I'm a woman. Pretty aggressive. I can't live without, this is my man, this is my woman, I can't live without him, I can't live without her. That attachment becomes very strong. The whole world is going on under this attraction. There's a song, there's a singer in America, he's probably gone by now, went by the name of, what was it, Muddy Waters or Howlin' Wolf? I think it was, Was it Muddy Waters? You know the song? Well, then how do you know which one it is? It's either Muddy Waters or Howlin' Wolf. There's two different singers. Anyway, the song goes, what makes a man go crazy? What makes a man go crazy when a woman wears her dress so tight? Must be the same thing that makes a hound dog howl all night. It's the same thing. The whole world's talking about the same thing. Whether it's the two dogs or two human beings or two insects or two whatever it is, two mosquitoes. This is their strong attraction. And you get so many novels and movies and songs and everything. Everyone knows if you want to sell something, then sell it with sex. Have a picture of a smiling woman or a strong man. Don't just sell perfume. Perfume is just, you know, some roses or some flowers thrown in with some water and distilled. You can't make an ad out of that. We make our perfume with the best flowers, and it's all about sex, because that's what sells. We have one devotee who runs some duty-free shop, and the number one selling item actually in the duty-free shop is not liquor, but perfume. So the perfume is meant for sex attraction. And it's all sold that way. And everything from cameras to cars to you name it is so often sold on this principle. Because this is the basic principle of material existence. So when a man and woman come together, then that knot in the heart becomes tight. Knot means knot of material desire. What is that? Bhagavad Gita. Just put it in. Yeah. Indriyani mano buddhira syat ishtana mucchate. Itaya vimohiyat tesha gyanam avritya dehinam. Dehinam. The material desire, lusty desire, takes up shelter in the senses, in the mind, in the intelligence, and bewilders the one, bewilders the living being, covering his knowledge. Sriyashama means shelter of the intelligence. Literally, it means the false ego. Or here, what makes the false ego go is that connection or that attraction, that bewilderment. By the force of illusion in the form of sex attraction. So then they get together, and then the next thing is griha, kshetra, sutta, apta, pittai. The man is free, but now because he has a girlfriend or a wife, they need an apartment. So, apartment or a house, and for that he has to work to pay for the apartment, to pay for the property. Kshetra means some land, either for growing food or for the kids to play in, or for prestige, or to make the wife happy. There's some land. Griha, kshetra, and children. The result of sex will be children. And one thinks, my house, my property, private property, no trespassing. Or it becomes communal, our property, no trespassing. Our country, no trespassing. Don't step on our land. Griha, kshetra, sutta, our children. And the house is filled with the pictures of the baby and the wife and the husband and wife together. This is our life. Griha, kshetra, sutta, apta, and relatives are all involved. One has to make the relatives happy. Now he's married, so the in-laws, her parents have to be happy. She's married, has to deal with his parents. The parents get in the picture, and then when there's children, then the grandparents, then now they're grandparents, so they really want to get in there. And all of this, for all of this, we need money, pitta. So people are busy day and night. Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Got to put food on the table. Got to work for a living. Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Whole cities full of people. Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? Get on the phone. Do you have any money? Would you like to buy this? Would you like to buy that? Do you know where I can find this? Do you know where I can find that? Making money and spending money. Mm-hmm. preoccupied. Griha Kshetra Sutta Apta. He has no time for hearing about Bhagavatam, but if you can tell him how he can make some money, then he's all ears. Even we know people go to church or to the mosque or the temple, and there's some religious ceremonies, some sermon and so on. But he may not go unless he gets the opportunity to mix with other men and talk about business. You know, church on Sunday is the opportunity to meet people, to network. Right? And maybe there's some opportunity to make money. Of course, you have to put a little money in the collection basket, but that's a small thing. You hope that you'll make good money.
Exchange complimentary cards.
Yeah, you exchange cards. You're in the roofing business, really. You know, it's all about networking, and that becomes more important. They go to the church, but the church is also a place for where is money? Maybe during the sermon also he's thinking, where is money? He has to sit there through the sermon, but he's thinking. Or else, especially we find in Africa and other places, that the sermon is also about where is money.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, maybe it's God who's going to give you money. Right? Because God is rich and he doesn't want you to be poor.
Yes. That's sweet.
Huh? Amen. God is the wealthiest. And if you give your life to God, what can God give you? Well, I'll tell you what he gave me. And he's riding around in a big car, and he's got a big wristwatch. And people are attracted that I can go to the church and I can also learn how to get money. There's a sort of new age thing going around in America. There's a secret in the cosmos, and if you tune into that secret, you can get everything you want. Griha, Kshetra, Sutta, Apta, sex, home, money, children. If people meet a saintly person, what do they want? They want prosperity. They want all these material things. So it's so powerful that people practically forget everything else. They become locked in. This is what life is. You grow up, you get an education, you get married, you get a house, you get a job, you get a house, you have kids. All, and what's the central point of it? The central point is sex. There's a famous story that Prabhupada was at the home of some life member. He was invited to the home along with the devotees. And the man was introducing, "This is my wife. This is my first son. This is my second son. This is my daughter. This is my daughter-in-law. This is my this. This is my that." And Prabhupada turned to the devotees, maybe after the man was gone, or anyway, at some point. "This is my this. This is my," said, "this is my sex life." Yeah. Prabhupada said, Maitun and Maitun products. Sex and sex product. That's what they're busy with. The sex and the products of sex in the form of children, in the form of something. So it becomes, the knot becomes tight in the heart. All of this becomes my life. And I forget that I'm not this body. I forget that life is meant for spiritual realization. I forget about birth and death. This way one becomes bewildered. Vimohati. Mohati means bewildered, and vimohati means totally bewildered. Kriyakshetra Sutta Tibitar. Janasya Mohoyam. Hammamiti. One becomes bewildered. Vimohayachyesha. I'm this body, and this is mine. My wife, my money, my home, my land, my relatives. Arjuna is also thinking. My cousins, my brothers, my. All in relationship to the body. So, here we're told that if by hearing this narration of King Puranjan, one can get free from this illusion. Striyashrama Purushas. And if one can get free from this illusion, then one can get free from material existence. Okay, are there any questions?
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
From the Prabhupada, Prabhupada linked the definition. So the material existence means living together as we are feeling.
Could you speak up, please?
So in the Prabhupada linked the definition, material existence means attraction of being a feeling.
Yeah.
Living together. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's any counter reaction.
You know, now you're fading out again. I got what you said so far. Now what?
So I'm asking, is there any problem with that?
You?
Is there any problem
with the attraction?
Is there any problem? Well, is there any problem with birth and death? Is there any problem with disease and old age? Material existence means birth, death, disease, old age. So what do you think? Is there a problem? This world has no problems? Or it has problems? Lots of problems, right? What's the cause of all those problems? Bodily concept of life. Where first of all, that I'm connected with this body. And then I think that I am this body. And what's the cause of that? This is the cause.
I was wondering about the allegory of Puranjan.
Yeah.
So, is there a mental concoction by the place, or is it kind of...
Mental concoction what?
Is there a mental concoction just to illustrate something, or is a particular place somebody...
Is it the story of Puranjan, is it a concoction, or it really happened? Is there?
It's a concoction. Generally, we accept that whatever the Bhagavatam says, that's history. That's a fact. there's such a person as Arjuna, there's such a person as Draupadi, there's such a person as Vidura, there's such a person as Nara. These things are accepted as fact. But here it's specifically said, this is an allegory. Allegory means it's a story. It's a story. Just like the pox and the grapes. There was no fox that said, these grapes are sour. Foxes don't talk, first of all. I don't even know if foxes like grapes, for that matter. But it's a concocted story. But it's a very purposeful concocted story. By hearing that story, everybody knows about sour grapes. It means they're sweet, but I can't get them, so I say, ah, they're sour. So the story is a concoction, but the knowledge is substantial. So the story about Puranjana is a concoction. But what underlies it is true. That there's this attraction between male and female, that this attraction leads to attachment, that the attachment leads to, finally, to death. On account of this body, I have to die. And it may result in one's being born again. The man is attached to the woman, in his next life he becomes a woman. That happened in the case of this concocted story of King Puranjana, but it can happen in real life. Man dies thinking of his wife, next time he's the wife. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Therefore, Vedic culture regulates this attachment. In brahmachari life, no sex. In sannyas life, no sex. In vanaprastha life, husband and wife may live together, but no sex. And in grihastha life, there's sex, but regulated also. Grihastha life is not a place for just any kind of sex, any time, as we like it. By the permission of the spiritual master, for the sake of having children, one may have sex at the appropriate time. Otherwise not. That means even in grihastha life, practically no sex. Limited. Association is there, man and woman, but not just for sex.
Maharaj, I have come across this question several times. Sometimes you meet the people asking this kind of question, and this kind of issue you raise, that the grihastha life means no sex, even your sex should be regulated. So somebody was asking that if, of course, the purpose of men and women come together is all about sex as the purpose of nation. If the regulation is there and the woman is like there is space between the woman and the man, just like we are seeing in the material world, there's always a closeness. And in spiritual life, I guess, like a space because of principle regulation. Will it not be a form?
Hey.
Will it not be like a space, a form, like a form now, given.
A form?
I'm using the word form, like giving space for intruder to come in, the woman having some affairs outside, the amount of having some affairs outside, or for the case of maintaining a principle of regulation.
There's always space. If we're not Krishna conscious, then as a brahmachari, as a sannyasi, as a vanaprastha, as a rasta, there's always space. Give Maya an opportunity, she'll find space and expand it. There's always space. Therefore, some concession is given. All right, let there be association between husband and wife. Not more. If you give Maya the opportunity, she'll say, well, why only one girlfriend? Why not two? Why not, you know, one for every day of the week? And why get married? That just means you've got all these obligations. And why children? Why don't we do something so that we can have sex and not have children? That tendency is very strong. Unrestricted sex. Sex as much as possible. Sex this way, sex that way. Take this pill and your sex will be better. All about better sex, more sex. How to have a fantastic sex life. And the result is AIDS, among other things. And so many other illicit, unwanted pregnancies, unwanted diseases, all this drama, people shooting people, or people committing suicide. So the Vedic, because Rajasas tu palam dukkham, the result of passion is misery. Therefore, if we want to be happy, we should come to the mode of goodness. It's not that by expanding our passionate activities we become happy, we actually become more miserable. So one is advised, come to the mode of goodness and be satisfied. If the urge for sex is very strong, then get married. Only one man, one woman. And not just sex, willy-nilly. Therefore, brahmachari training is so important so that one learns how to control the senses. And chastity is important so that the girl also is control. That's called culture. In modern civilization, there's no culture, so they're encouraged to have sex like cats and dogs. That's what you do. Even the parents are encouraging the children. Yeah. They want their daughter to be popular. It was popular. So culture, Vedic culture means culture of knowledge. With that culture of knowledge, one understands that you bring fire and butter together, the butter is going to melt. Therefore, they should only be brought together when necessary. Therefore, even in grahastha life, things should be arranged in such a way that it's not all about sex or it's not conducive to unrestricted sex. It should be arranged in such a way that sex is not what life is all about. Actually, life is meant for Krishna consciousness. The husband and wife should be engaged in the service of Krishna. Then, the more they're engaged in the service of Krishna, the more their spiritual nature comes out. And the more the spiritual nature comes out, the more sex becomes less important. Otherwise, material life, there's no other happiness. What is there but sex? Everything, you know, sort of is like a, they say all roads lead to Rome, so Rome is sex. Even Rome, the prophet said, these cities, what are they about? The city is built on the mode of passion. Country is in the mode of goodness, countryside. The city is a result of passion. So all roads lead to Rome means all roads lead to sex. So in materialistic family life, finally, that's like the central point. And, you know, we don't say, well, you know, what are we here for? We're here for sex. But they talk about love. They talk about, usually love, that's kind of what it is. But what does love culminate in? It culminates in sex. Everything is meant to enhance their loving relationship, which means sex. Because that's the goal of life. Kamo papoga paramayita. Vedic culture means, no, there's a higher goal in life. And, alright, sex may be there, just like eating may be there. For some people, eating becomes like the goal of life. Eating at every opportunity, eating without control. And then they die early. Oh, sex has a place, all right? There's some provision in family life for sex, but not that family life means. Now everything is sex, 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 and sex. It should be arranged in such a way that Krishna is the goal. Then it's called grasta ashram. Otherwise it's greedomity. Basically, capital.
Alright, please, I want to know this part. Is the soul by nature sexy?
Is the soul by nature?
Sexy.
Does it have sex? Yes, female. Krishna is the supreme male, and the living entity is female by nature. Female means predominated, and male means predominator. So the predominator is Krishna. Ekala Ishra Krishna, our subject, and everyone else is servant of Krishna. Prakriti. Krishna's, we said, Govindam Adi Purusha. He's the Purusha. Purusha means male, Purusha means the enjoyer. And we're all Prakriti. Prakriti means gives enjoyment. Prakriti means controlled, predominated. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.